Mr. Mike Frantz.
All right, so here's the deal. This is an opportunity to talk to maybe the next congressman here in the state of Connecticut. I mean, you never get a chance to talk to the current one, that's for sure. But you can pick up the phone and call us at 860-464-9490. Mike Frantz is with us here in the studio. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Excellent. How are you doing, Lee?
You wanted to start with Israel today?
Yeah, I think in light of recent events, what we've seen in the attack and the follow-on is now, contrary to the rhetoric, if you will, that were coming out of D.C. of, no, there's no war in the Middle East. We're not at war, but we're taking casualties. And, first it was the two SEALs, the more recently the two or three members of the Georgia National Guard that were hit in a drone attack, and the 45 that were injured. I think it's 12 critically still dealing with that. When we are taking casualties, it's a war. And we need to have a response, and it's clear that we've talked about it before. This is a war of our own making. This is a kinetic action of our own making. And why do I say that? Is because we funded it. We opened the floodgates for Israel, for Iran, because we removed the restrictions that were in place from the previous administration on oil production and sales that yielded north of $100 billion of additional revenue to the state of Israel, of Iran. And what did you think they were going to do with it? Exactly what they do with any of their money. They feed it to terrorist organizations like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like the Houthis. And what do we see? We see chaos in the Middle East, unlike we've seen in many, many years, caused by the failed foreign policy this administration, supported by Joe Courtney. This is the problem. And then what is the solution? Well, they have none. They have no plan. Right. It is in eerily similar to a period of time in not that distant history of Neville Chamberlain wandering over to talk to Mr. Hitler, as he called him.
Right.
And we see the same outcome. And weakness on our part has opened the gates for bad actors like Iran to fund these efforts. And the consequence is severe, as we saw in Israel from October 7th. And I was recently, the Jewish Federation here sponsored an event with, along with the group called Faces of October 7th, brought Lady Jenny to the Beth Jacob Synagogue this week and presented her firsthand account of being at the Nova Festival.
Mm.
And by randomness, running into her brother at the same festival, didn't know he was going to be there, and sharing her experience, which ultimately led to her brother and his girlfriend being killed as part of that, and sharing her experience.
Right.
Very moving story, personal firsthand. This is the real consequence of the actions of the Biden administration and the acquiescence and the failure of Joe Courtney to lead on this effort or even say anything against his own party. That's a problem. But as I was listening to the colonel yesterday, and he was covering much of these things, he was exactly right, that is a issue of the world, and it does have consequence for the United States. But the more pertinent one is the border. When you have the numbers coming across the border of people that we have no idea what their background is, we have no idea what their intentions are, and we have no idea where they are in this country once they come in, there are hundreds of thousands of military age males that came over here unaccompanied that we have no idea where they are or what they're doing. And as you covered today, this morning already, and we saw in the news, the illegal immigrants who are attacking our police officers and no consequences. They get arrested and immediately released. These are the things. It's like, think about it. If you come into a country, you come in anywhere and you break the law and nothing happens, what do you think you're going to do? That you're going to continue to do the same thing because there's no consequences. And we're seeing it with juvenile justice in Connecticut. We're seeing it when there are no consequences to breaking the law,
right?
You're going to continue to break the law because the law has no meaning. And it's interesting when I was thinking about how do you get this point across to the people in a way that they can immediately grasp? And I was thinking about this thing about coming across the border. And I look at it, when you're filling up your cup of coffee in the morning, when your cup of coffee is full and it's overflowing, do you keep putting more coffee in it? No, you stop. But what we see on the border And it's the irony in this is the rhetoric from the Democrats and supported by Joe Courtney is this: we need to fix the broken immigration system. It's broken because you're not enforcing the law. You are filling that cup of coffee. It's overflowed and it is filling up your kitchen. It's filling up your house. That is what we have. We need to stop immigration, period. Why do I say that? And why has it ever been done in history before? The answer is yes. It was in 1923, after over 40 years of significant immigration into our country, and the system was challenged the same, in a much smaller scale, but similar way. And the federal government said, we need to let this settle out. And it wasn't until 1965, over 40 years later, that we opened up general immigration. We had visas. We had specific people that we brought in to do work. They were controlled under the work visas, but not general immigration. That is the first step. And then we allow all this coffee that we've allowed to fill up our kitchen, which is all the people that are being processed, that's going to be years, could be even a decade of processing to be processed and figure out, are these asylum seekers legitimate? And if not, they need to go back to the country they came from. These are the things that need to happen. And what we're seeing in Congress is efforts to put a band-aid on the problem. And just like the situation in Israel, we caused it by our funding of allowing the funding of Iran, including giving them directly $6 billion in a swap for prisoners. We gave them bad actors. We gave them terrorists back, and we received prisoners, and they got $6 billion for the privilege. In addition to that, we are doing the same thing here. This is a problem of the Biden administration's making, supported by Joe Courtney because he's loyal to his party. First, that is who the real Joe Courtney is, and we are seeing it in his actions. He is loyal to party first before the people of Eastern Connecticut, and the Biden administration policy is what's allowed this problem to be created. And now, after they created the problem, they want to claim they're going to fix it by fixing the, quote, broken immigration system, which they broke by not following the law. So let's get back to following the law as it is. Shut down the border, stop general immigration, allow the system to process the people that are here, and then we figure out what to do next.
Mike, I think you make great points, all of them right on the money. I want to add a couple things to that, just if you don't mind, and get your opinion on some of this stuff. So you mentioned that it's going to take a decade to process some of these people. My contention to that, or my pushback on that, is that I think 80%, I think the number was 80% of the people they don't expect to see again. So the people that attack the cops, you'll never see them again unless they commit another crime. So they're gone, right? If they'll figure out join a gang or do whatever it is that they're going to do, they'll be gone unless they get arrested again. That's number one. The second thing I want to ask you about is, if you were in Congress, and I was talking to Boutlier about this, and I kind of let it go because sometimes when I talk to him, I'm not listening. But then afterwards, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, so a lot of people are saying that, well, they got to come up with a deal now, as you were just talking about. We got to get a deal because it's broken. And so let's vote on this and let's trade this and that. I would not vote on anything. I would go to the states. I would go to Texas. I would tell them to protect themselves. You have until November. Do whatever it takes. Let the legal thing play itself out. I don't believe. I believe that, you know, eventually. My point is, I let them do what they. But if I was in Congress, I know I'm messing this up. I would not vote for anything. No, but I would not vote for anything because I think what's happening now is this is a clear lifeline that's being thrown to Biden as if somehow he's going to come in and save this situation that he's created. It's too late. There are 10 million people in here now. Whatever they do now, it's too late, right?
And that's the practical reality of what's being proposed. There are several proposals out there, and much like things we've seen in the past of these compromise bills, they don't really get to the root cause of the problem. They put a Band-Aid on the problem. And it is an analogy that I've used many, many times. It's like when you have a sore on your arm, there's pus, and instead of going to the doctor and getting antibiotics, you put a Band-Aid on it to hide it, you know, cover it up. Mm-hmm. Well, then it leaks outside of the Band-Aid. What do? Oh, you put another Band-Aid on it. Soon you have a stack of Band-Aids. Right. But then your arm falls off because the infection was never killed.
Sure.
And that's the root cause. Yeah. That's the root cause of the problem. And nothing is being done about the root cause of the problem.
Right.
And the root cause is we have expanded general immigration beyond the capacity of the system as it exists. So the system is like that cup. And the general immigration is legal immigration, just legal immigration, is the overflowing coffee. Now you add on top of that the illegal immigration and the asylum seekers that 80% conservative, they've heard as high as 90% of them do not qualify for asylum, which is why the previous administration said you remain in Mexico while your asylum claim is being adjudicated. And if it is legitimate, then you come into our country. And the other thing is that when you look at asylum, when you're seeking asylum, you don't get to wander the world to find a place to land. And people need to think about this. If you were seeking asylum and you were coming directly to the United States, why wouldn't you fly into New York City, to LaGuardia, and go through customs there? Because you're not legitimate. Mm. You would immediately be turned around, much like the immigrants of the past when it came through Ellis Island and Castle Garden a century ago. That's why they're doing, you're seeing 160, 180, 200 countries being represented as they come north out of Mexico. If you are no longer in a country, so if you come from some country in Eastern Europe, or you come from a country in Africa or any other continent, and you land in Mexico, well, you are no longer in jeopardy.
All right.
If you are running away and you're seeking asylum from something, you are no longer, so therefore you are done.
Right.
You seek asylum in the country that you first arrive in. You don't get to wander the world. And that's what these people are. Why?
All right.
Because the Biden administration, before he was even sworn in, told them to come.
Correct. That's correct.
That is exactly why they're doing this, and it has continued now for over 3 years.
Right.
To the problem we have today, where we have estimated 10 million people who've come across the border that we know nothing about.
Right.
It is a problem of the Biden administration making. It has been supported wholeheartedly by Joe Courtney, and now they're trying to put a Band-Aid on the problem to treat a symptom, to your point, to claim political victory.
Right.
Oh, why is that? What's happening later this year? That's right. There's an election coming up, and they're going to claim victory. We took action, but it will not solve the problem, and we won't realize it for real until after the election, because they could pass it today. Mm. The actions of that bill will not take effect and start moving for a year, but they'll claim victory politically, and it will not solve the problem for the people of this country and the people of Eastern Connecticut, and Joe Courtney and his failure needs to be held to account.
Totally agree with all that. Let's grab a call. We'll go out to... I think we're going to Long Island for our pal Peter. Peter, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing finely, thank you. And is your guest, is it Mr. Francis?
It's John Mike France.
Okay. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning to both of you. You know, you're absolutely right, Mike. The border should be closed, and it's not being closed. And what's interesting is that why is this bill, which includes doing something with the border and money for Ukraine and I guess Taiwan, why is this even negotiated? I mean, the border needs to be closed, period. That's what should be in the bill. Not, well, for 30 days, 90 days or whatever. But you know something, gentlemen, there's a reason for everything. And I believe the reason that people are basically being allowed to just walk in at will right now is I think that the Biden administration is trying to get some kind of a public pushback and rebellion on a national level going up to the election, where they can say, well, you know, we have an emergency situation, we have chaos. Even if Trump wins, I will not step down until this is resolved. That's the only explanation I can come up with, because it shouldn't be open. It should be regulated. And there are basically, there was a law, I think back in the 60s, like your guest said, that there are a certain number of people per year that were allowed to come into this country legally. And that's not even being upheld as well. So, like I said, there's a reason for everything. And I think the bigger reason is they're looking for chaos now, because they're seeing that, they can't take Trump down no matter what they do.
Now, you make good points, Peter. One of the things, you're correct, that there was a limit on legal immigration. And people go back. In fact, there were several videos on this illustrating it with ping pong balls. But the 250,000, if I remember correctly, was the cap on legal immigration per year. And during the Obama administration, in very short order, they increased that to 500,000 and very quickly after that to 1 million per year. And the system is still the same as far as processing, which is why the backlog got far worse. So the administration, the previous administration that Joe Biden was a part of, created a problem by quadrupling the amount of legal immigration, that's setting aside the illegal immigration. But the system, the process, the legal immigrants, was of the same size. And so now you've overflowed the capacity. Once again, the visual of this coffee cup being filled up with coffee and you just keep pouring more coffee even though it's overflowing. That is why in 1923 we stopped general immigration to allow that system to process. We need to do the same thing. General immigration goes to zero per year until the backlog is resolved. And then we seal the border, we secure the border so that we have the illegal side taken care of. And then we allow the backlog, which estimated conservatively at 6 years, could be as high as 10 years minimum, to process these people and deal with the problem that has been created.
You're exactly right. And that's a great idea. Until they're processed, you shut it down. And, you know, you have to ask everybody, does it make any sense, and is it common sense, to have this open door policy? And the answer is no. And if the answer is no, then the question is, why is it happening? And like I said, the only reason I can think of is that they're looking down to November. And if this is just another, well, you know, plan A doesn't work, we have plan B. So, you know, there can only be so many answers for so many questions. And when you narrow it down, it's got to be one or the other. But I want to thank both of you gentlemen for your time and allowing me to air my views, and have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
Thanks,
Bill. Our state representative friend and your friend, Doug Dubitsky, weighs in. Just what you had said, echo what you'd said, which is enforce the laws on the books right now. And, you know, off you go. I have one more question while we have time, just really quick. You know, let's say Trump becomes president. He probably does shut the border down immediately, I would think. That would be step one. And he has also talked about the most aggressive deportation scenario in history. How would that happen? I just don't. Listen. I would be for it. I screamed about it this morning. I don't know how it would work.
Well, the system as it exists would be increased. You would have to increase the number of judges, increase the number of attorneys to represent the people, and they would have to process them through. The other thing is that there could be law passed that if you have the people that go through the legal system, you don't let them go. If they are here illegally, you take them through and you process them. If they're convicted of a felony, you deport them and you put them on a list of you are no longer welcome in this country, effectively. Is that something that happens overnight? I don't see that happening overnight, but it is putting processes in place, right, that the consequence of violating the law is you are no longer welcome in this country if, right, you're here illegally. So those are a few ideas. I'm sure there are others. But it first starts with stopping the flow of immigrants coming into this country so that the process, the system, right, can process them through and realize that. And people, as I said, once again, you think about it. When we shut down immigration in 1923, general immigration, and went to just the equivalent of work visas from then until for 40 years, that was after only about 40 years, because it started with about the potato famine in around 1880. So just over 40 years of general immigration, nowhere near the numbers that we see today. We have been on this path for almost 60 years.
Right.
And it was escalated in the Obama administration just over a decade ago. So we have the floodgates were open. We already had a system that was strained. And then Obama made it worse.
Right.
That administration made it worse by quadrupling the amount of legal immigrants that were there. And what do we hear? That was a time of all the DACAs and all these things. So they distracted from the real problem by highlighting another issue related to the immigrants that are here. Instead of solving the problem, we made it worse. And now, when the Biden administration took off the policies of the previous administration of the Remain in Mexico, et cetera, he put gasoline on the fire, proverbially, to allow the numbers to dramatically increase.
I just think there's a misconception that you're just going to put everybody in the back of a truck and drive them back down to Mexico somewhere. It's just impossible. And by the way, you know, they're coming in at nine. Like, I did the math the other day, 10 million over 3 years, or at least Biden's presidency, 1,100 days is 9,090 people per day. Right? How are you going to get rid of 9,090 people per day? Not that you're going to get rid of all of them, but my point is, it's just not. It's not logistically possible. Let me grab one more call. Eric, you're calling up against an update, so you only got about a minute and a half or so. Go ahead, my friend.
That's fine, Lee. Hey, guys. Great conversation. I'm a grandson of immigrants who came over from Germany and England, and their first priority was to assimilate. You know, they worked hard. They were working class. You know, they weren't muckety-mucks. And I see what's happening now with the influx on the border. And I ask, it's the Greek, that Greek question, the Greek phrase, what is it? Ki bono, who benefits? You know, and follow, I think also following money trails is very important. But these four illegals in New York City, you know, a good example is, you know, here's New York City people, they, you know, try getting a concealed carry permit in New York. It costs anywhere from $15,000 to $20,000 to do it. It's almost impossible. Basically, you know, we're being disarmed, or they're trying to disarm us, and they're bringing in all these illegals, and many of them have ill intent. I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of good people, but you know, this is abnormal. This is an anomaly. So it's just, and it's got to stop. And I agree that there should be a moratorium on immigration.
Well, thanks, Eric. Appreciate the points, and you're spot on. And if your listeners want to see change and they want to have better representation in Eastern Connecticut, go to votemikefrance.com, make a donation so we can carry this message broadly and change Eastern Connecticut and get better representation in Washington that it's going to serve you and serve this country.
By the way, and this is a message from one of our listeners out there that just wanted to make the point that Obama deported more illegals than any president apparently in the history of the country. So that was according to the New York Post as well. I mean, I don't know what that means. I guess that's good. Bring him back for a third term. Well, if Michelle runs, I guess he'll get his third term. All right, Mike, thank you. Where do they go again?
VoteMikeFrance.com. Volunteer, donate, help the cause, and we can win in November, and you have better service, better served representation down in Washington serving you.
We'll be right back. We'll talk to Zach Smith, Heritage Foundation, this half hour. Stick around, everybody.